Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Jen, would you like to podcast today?
I would love nothing more than to podcast with you today. But first, I'm going to tell everybody, you know what? If you accidentally happen on this I Mom So Hard podcast, you can intentionally find us wherever podcasts are listened to.
You can find us on where are those fancy places? Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, at the I Mom So Hard podcast. You can watch us.
You can watch us, which I highly recommend.
You can Google us.
My eyebrows are excessive today. I'm just trying something new.
They look nice. And so do your lips.
You like them?
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm using a plumper.
Yeah. I tried one of your plumpers once and I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. You don't mess around with lip plumpers. They should be illegal. I think the one I put on was illegal.
It's like a stinging hornet from like Siam or something. I don't know.
Do you remember when I put it on and then you convinced my husband to put it on and he almost started crying? He was such a baby about it. He was like, "Oh, it really hurts."
The funny thing was both our husbands watching a man put on lip gloss that is not used to doing it. And there's some that probably put it on better than me. But these two guys were like stabbing themselves in the lip with this lip plumper wand and then like making this weird face like they had never noticed they had lips before.
Well, they held the wand and moved their lips. So they were like tracing their mouth around this, like, and then they both were such ninnies about it. It was wonderful. I was like, you have no idea what women endure just to look beautiful. Like, let's just plucking my eyebrows feels like I'm being punished.
I have an encyclopedia of tasks, and my husband is like, shower, shave, brush his teeth, and then he's ready.
Yeah, same. And
there.
It takes 5 seconds, and I'm like, hey, can you just do something that feels like it level the playing field? Can you like handle your knees that are ashy? And I don't know why that is, because you're the whitest man I've ever met in my whole life. But you have ashy knees.
He needs to exfoliate.
I know. He wouldn't know what that. He would think you were asking him to change a carburetor.
Well,
I'm trying to deflect the conversation that we intended to have, because
Kristen doesn't want to talk about what we're going to talk about.
But I do want to talk about it. I do want to talk about it. And I want to talk about this thing because I think it's really important when you're experiencing something to talk out loud about it. We tell our kids, talk about your feelings, talk about your experiences. Tell us how you feel. We got to be prepared to do it ourselves, right? Isn't that the goal?
Yeah. And I have developed this theory about emotion in the time that like everything in the world is so heightened.
Right.
Emotion wise. And I think it's that like what you feel like sometimes can be so unbearable, like the feeling doesn't go away. But if you get it out of your mouth, it's not all in you. You're not like carrying it around as much. You're getting to like spread it out a little bit, which I'm not saying do that with anger, but I am saying do that with your sad feelings.
Do it well. And if you are somebody like me who's like, hey, anger is really easy, but sadness, vulnerability, insecurity, those are hard feelings. Like those are the next, but anger can just cover everything. So I'm trying really hard to be present with how I feel, which sounds like really bougie because that's not, it sounds headier than I am as a person. I'm sort of a brass tacks person, but let's get to.
It's the adult thing though, because it's like, there really are only two emotions. There's joy and there's sad.
Sadness.
And sad means you're scared.
Yeah.
And that's why people get mad, because they're scared of losing something.
Yeah. Or I lost my car keys, which is, I get real pissed.
You've already lost
I'm already
something.
Mad. I'm already mad.
Yeah.
But
blame is a different thing. We'll get into that some other
day. Blame is delightful. That's a tool and a skill. And we'll get into that later. That I can unpack that for hours. But
I am working on, that's my thesis.
Yeah. Blame, how to do it and do it right. Today we're going to talk about something that's, it is sad, but we're going to talk about it in a way that feels okay. But Finn is my son, and he is a fourth grader, and he is 9, and he'll be 10 in about 6 weeks. And we have started the school year. The entire year has been in remote learning. We are in California, where the numbers are the highest in the country. We are enduring COVID unlike almost everybody else. So when they say hospitals are overrun and people are getting sick, it is real for us. It is a very real thing. And my son's teacher, Mr. Glover, died of COVID over the Christmas break.
And he was a big fan of Finn.
Big fan.
And Finn was a big fan of his. And mm-hmm. I heard about Mr. Glover from you a lot. Like, the whole family really liked him. And you were like, man, we got Mr. Glover. That's
yeah,
the teacher, man.
The
Everybody loves him.
Everybody loves him because he originally taught first grade. And then he went to fourth grade. So there are teachers at kids at this school that he had twice. So the thing I liked about him so much is, and what is so strange about this world we're living in, and I think you can agree, like, we have more access to our teachers now in remote learning than we did when they're going to school. So you hear their voices kind of all day, and you like maybe accidentally walk into the frame and say hi, or although it's weird because you're in this like two-dimensional space, you do have this relationship that grows just like a regular teacher-student relationship. And there is this component where you have more access as a parent. So we really did fall in love with Mr. Glover, and we know his kids, and Finn is heartbroken. This is the first time he's experienced death and loss. And so he's very confused. And I think as a parent, this is like the big thing, you know, it is very hard to explain. You're never ready. Even if the person that you're going to say goodbye to is somebody who is suffering or somebody who's, it's a long process, you still have to explain to them the finality in saying goodbye. And I know you understand that.
Well, it's impossible to explain it to a child when, as humans, unless we're like Vatican priests, I don't know if we really like understand it. And I don't know if you've noticed, I am not.
My mother wishes I was.
We're pet parents, and working from home has given us more time to spend with our four-legged family members, all of our family members. We're now aware of their daily needs, health issues, and well-being. So if you've noticed that your pet is itchy or smells less than pleasant, you have to try Scout's Honor.
That's right. Scout's Honor uses probiotics to help with itch relief, odor control, and achieve an overall healthier skin and coat, which I think I might try it on myself here soon, because that sounds amazing. And I just would like to say I love a product that's geared towards our four-legged friends, because currently they are the ones that like me the most in my family.
Yeah, we have these Labradoodles that are really hard to maintain, and they have this wonderful spray detangler shampoo and conditioner, and they smell a lot better than my yard at this point, so that's great.
Absolutely. Scout's Honor's probiotic grooming products are scientifically proven natural solution for treating your pet's skin problems, and you can choose from their amazing fragrances like lavender or Jen's favorite honeysuckle. And sandalwood, and my favorite, which is the vanilla blend.
To receive 20% off your first order, go to scoutshonor.com/mom. Remember, that's Scouts with a K. At scoutshonor.com/mom for 20% off your order. Scouts Honor, natural and preventative grooming solutions for pets.
Hey, you know how we live to create, but you don't want to worry about the tech specs of a digital project?
You mean the biggest part of our job? But yes, I do.
Yes. Do you know what you can do?
You can just do what you do best and let Issue handle the rest. Simply upload your PDFs and files, and Issue transforms them to create the content you want.
That's what's cool about it. Issue is an all-in-one platform to create and distribute your digital publications, including social media like Instagram and Facebook. They can even help you make animated Instagram stories.
You can start using Issue for free, which is my favorite price, but they also offer premium features that give you a more customized experience.
Get started with Issue today for free, or if you sign up for a premium account, you will get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcast and use promo code MOM. That's ISSUU.com/podcast and use promo code MOM at checkout for your free account or 50% off your premium account.
That's issue.com/podcast with promo code MOM. That's issue.com/podcast with promo code MOM. No, I know that death is like this thing that every religion celebrates it or at least acknowledges it. Even if you're agnostic, you're like, I don't know if there's a God, but I think there's a thing. I don't know. As long as you're somebody who's ever contemplated the beyond, I feel like I can understand you. What I love is that almost every religion, the through line is to remember them, to celebrate them, to talk about it, to, you know, that to me is very comforting. But you can say whatever you want. When someone dies and you know you're going to live the rest of your life without seeing him, it fucking sucks. And there's no simple way to say it. There's no, like, all the books and all the religions and all the beliefs, it doesn't take away that pit that feels very real when someone you know passes away. And I do know there are different sizes of the seismic shake that death, you know, this was a teacher for us. The class is very affected. I think if it's somebody that's like, God forbid, a family member or like somebody really close in your circle, the impact is even greater. But Finn, just to see Finn react for the first time when he didn't even understand how what the sentence meant. We told him. And he just, his head was like a bobblehead. And he was like, he died. Like there's no making heads or tails of it. And the way he's coping is going to, every kid does it differently. We've had wonderful support from the school, which I can't tell you how much that's meant to us, because it is nice to know there's resources. Like you don't have to wing it. You can have, there's counselors and people that can say, hey, historically, this has helped us.
Well, I think it sucks too, this time in history, for Finn to lose his teacher, and obviously for his family, because that's who he interacts with besides you guys kind of the most. And like, nothing's stable right now, but having that regular person not there anymore. And that's the part about death to me that never makes sense, is like, I always feel like, you know, that they're like, you can't unring a bell. I'm like, well, why don't understand that? Why can't you? Why can't you just go back to that moment and like not have it be that way?
I know.
I don't get it.
I rewind the clock. And that's what Finn keeps saying. He's like, I want things to go back to normal. And the way, you know, then you have to just really, the hardest part, and I know this from being a teacher too, is when someone is grieving, you have to just let them be. And that's hard when you're someone that's like, I want to make you feel better. I want to make you smile. I'm going to make everything okay. You can't. You got to let them be. And that's why, like, people in the Midwest, man, they know how to funeral.
Yeah.
They have, there's a code. You drop off a big ass casserole that if it's any less than 2,000 calories per slice, it's not, you shouldn't bring it over. You bring over, you know, a big hug and maybe a bottle of something that's delicious. And you say, I'm here for you. I love you, whatever you need. And there, it's like a ritual.
Yeah.
And we don't have that right now. And it sucks.
Yeah. That's the reason that you would normally like do a funeral, is that you get to like sort of bounce your grief off somebody and know that it's real and get to hear like all their memories and stuff like that. So, and the kids, they had a memorial today, right? They kind of got to.
Well, today at school was the first day back that we've had with, without him. Yesterday we had a Zoom meeting for the parents
who I was really impressed. Every single parent showed up, even parents that are divorced were in different squares, you know, that were. And I was like, what's that? Like, no, I'm just kidding. And we were there. So
that living room's nicer than the other one.
I know.
You need to go back into court.
Yeah. Somebody. I don't like her for him. So go back. So like you're looking at all these parents and they all we all have this look. I'm like, man, if this were normal times, we'd all meet up at a pub and we'd have beers and we would celebrate him and get to know each other. And I think there's that's sort of the circle of life is like you go, this terrible thing happened, but we will come together. We will be there for each other. And then these friendships in this bonding happens over these moments like this and you don't have it. So it was this weird Zoom and you could see everybody's so desperate just for to get everybody together and like find ways to make it work. And we will and we'll get there. And I swear to God, like come 6 months or however long it takes, I'm going to be so drunk at a local pub with my husband. And yes. We're just going to like toast to Mr. Glover all night long.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah, well, there's so many things about this that I like. It makes me feel too, because I didn't even know him, but I know how it affected you and your
Finn,
family.
And also just knowing that you have to say that like life becomes very real for your kid in a moment. You're like, oh, yes. Shit. Part of your
and
childhood
also,
just changed.
You know, in another world, you don't even have to deal with this because there's not everybody in the world getting COVID.
No. Like, and I'll tell you this. I'll tell you straight up, and I'm probably going to get in some trouble, but you
whatever.
Know, my heart broke when I heard Mr. Glover died. My heart broke. We've been through hell in LA. We are cooped up. Everybody likes to shit on LA and they're like, well, you could just move. And you're like, it's my fucking home. I've been here 20 years. Am I just supposed
come
to
visit and you'll see why
visit.
We don't.
Yeah. But I called my parents. I called my mom to tell her and they're at a bar having drinks. And, you know, their way of living is different in Nebraska. Their people are looser. They have restaurants that are open. I mean, God forbid you don't get nachos one night. But I was mad at them and I'm still a little mad at them. And this is just another divide in the time and space that I want to stop. I want it all to stop.
Everything like sort of right now compounds because it's like, it's different than like a car accident. Like if there was this plague of car accidents, you sort of see it happen and you see that there's evidence that it exists. But when it all happens in a hospital or it doesn't happen immediately in front of you, you can act like it's really not even happening. I mean, because you can be talking – like somebody can have it and be totally fine too.
Yes.
Somebody can have COVID.
That's the weirdest part. And like I swear to God, my parents are like, well, we know someone who was 76 and open heart surgery and they had it and they were mowing their lawn the next day. And I'm like, well, good on you. Like, good. I'm glad that person is okay. My son's teacher is not, and he has a fourth grader and a fifth grader, and they're going to live their life without their parents or without their parents being together, and their dad is gone because I feel like I'm living in the frickin' Twilight Zone.
It is the Twilight Zone, and you, like, this is how upset I was just in the last, like, the last week has been this weird, hellacious, like, the sky's falling. Like,
well, it's getting closer to home. it's the ripple is moving closer to us. So we feel even more.
LA, one in five people have it. And like the guy who came and fixed our gas line the other day was like, oh yeah, three of my friends have died.
You're like, why are we so aloof?
Because they're like, because it's hitting certain groups of people. If you live in Beverly Hills, you don't know anybody who's probably died of it. But if you know somebody that is like works in medicine, construction, a grocery store, a teacher, they've had it. All my teacher friends have had it by now. Like if it's like, but God, hold on. What was they going to say? Let me back it up. So Chris and I were getting COVID tests. She was driving in another car, obviously. We're in separate cars, so we get tests so we can see each other. And I'm driving back, and it's a pain. You have to drive through cones and cones and cones and loops and loops and loops and loops and do this test.
3 hours, start to finish.
But we're trying to keep each other's families safe. So I'm getting off the freeway, finally getting home.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who's just blocking traffic. He's just blocking traffic because he needs to like turn off the freeway into a left lane so he can make an immediate left. And that would make me crazy like on any other day, but he's blocking traffic. So I and my big, huge
white
minivan that looks like a neutered whale. It's so like if you have a cool car, you can honk and it's like people are like, whoa, but you have a minivan and they're like, take a Midol, bitch.
Yeah, but if you have your minivan, which looks like you like work some shit out on that, like they're scared of you.
It looks like they're like, she doesn't care.
Show ram your ass on the freeway, my friend.
Lots of scuffs on it. But I honked at this car because nobody else was. There's like two cars in front of me. I wasn't honking at this guy for not moving. And I did. And this guy next to me has his window down and he's smoking cigarettes. And there is something about somebody who's like 75, 80 smoking a cigarette that's a little belligerent. You're like
dodged a bullet, sir.
Yeah. You're going to test it. You're going to like maybe start smoking at 80 if you've like lived a pretty good life.
But then we could call it. If it was a new smoker, you can tell just by how they hold the cigarette. No, I'd be like, this is your career. This is a career
professional
smoker.
Yeah.
He had like the finger gripped around the thing and then he can talk while it's in his mouth. That's a career smoker.
He yelled at me for honking.
How dare he? Gross.
He was like, what are you honking at? And originally I was upset. I'm like, oh, how can you be paying so little attention that you're not noticing the car in front of you doing an asshole move? Like maybe quit smoking and pay attention a little better so you know what is a danger to be had.
Yeah.
But then he kept saying, what are you doing? Don't honk. Everybody honk. Like screaming at me. So I put my mask on and I rolled down my window and I go, wear a fucking mask, buddy. And then I rolled up my window again and I took my mask off and I took my Chrysler back on the road.
And you're like, I feel a little bit better about things. I feel a little bit better.
I worked some stuff out on him, which he absolutely deserved. But it was like, why do I spend all of my time worried about your ass and everybody else's if you're just a consummate dick to everybody?
Because that's what doing the right thing means. That's what nobody wants to tell your kid. Like when they say, like, do the right thing, be a better person, rise above it, walk away from that thing you want to say that's so mean, drive and not get mad at somebody who's being an idiot. Like you have, that is, trust me, there's nothing harder for someone like me because I want to do the wrong thing. And but of course, it feels good. And we're all like so jacked up right now. The world is jacked up, but I will say this on a note of things that took my breath away in a positive way is that I posted about Mr. Glover today on Instagram, which I wasn't going to do. I wasn't going to do it. But then I was like, but I'm nobody's clown. Like I'm a human. So we kind of live these outward lives. If I don't talk about this and then I go back to like posting pictures of movie night in my house, it feels like for what you and I stand for, it feels like I'm not being honest. So,
well, Yeah, I was hoping that you would. And I didn't want to ask you to do it because I think you do that when you're ready or when you feel it. And also, if I said like, oh, you should share what you're feeling, then you would feel like you had to say it in a certain way. And you said it like,
yeah, it, thank you.
I used to take all these different supplements. And I got to say, like, some of it was to give me like energy. And some of it was I thought it would make me look younger. I don't know. But anyways, we all have our different reasons. But I was taking 19 different things in these huge horse pills. And now
vitamins are the worst and they make you feel barfy.
Exactly. And Athletic Greens.
But the one thing I have to say is I posted this this post, felt very vulnerable, felt like I was giving. I love the quote, may his memory be a blessing. I love that. I like that idea. So I was like, I'm gonna put it out there, man. There's people that don't know Mr. Glover, and I want his name to like pass through people's, I don't know, I want to put it out there in a positive way. And man, my heart just like exploded when I saw like there's like thousands and thousands and thousands of people saying kind, warm, loving, yeah, supportive things. And I think about those kids and all I can think about is those kids. And
his kids?
Yeah. The daughter is Finn's classmate and has been for 2 years. And she's just the sweetest thing. And their son is 1 year older. And I think to myself, I just want anything that it can roll forward in a positive way to roll to them. And I know I obviously think about the wife because she's lovely, but there's just something about those kids and enduring what they're dealing with right now that I'm like, I want all the good that can come from this to go like a thoroughfare right to them. So yeah. This has been a really tough time. It's nothing compared to what their family is living through. But I do think that this is also just a big shout out to teachers, because I think, man, they must feel so tired. They must feel so tired. And they're doing great. My kid, you know, loved, learned. Let's put it this way. Mr. Glover is on with my son from whatever, 9 to however they have it set up, 9 to 1 or whatever it is. And never yells at my kid. If I'm with my kid from 9 to 9:15, I've yelled at him twice. I've threatened to take away his iPad, and I've yelled at him twice between 9 a.m. and 9:15. So, of course, Finn feels like the one who liked him the most is now not playing.
Well, when we, you know, we started back today, too, and I've got the two kids, different rooms, different Zooms. And somehow I managed to walk in to yell at Dash. And because his deal is he's following along, but he's also reading something online or like doing a side project while he's listening. And I tell him, I'm like, it's not respectful to your teacher if you're not looking at what she wants you to look at. Like, you're not.
Yeah.
She spends her time getting that ready for you. So look at it. Just at least humor, whatever, you know, like. And I went in there and I was like, what are you doing? Can you not just look at what she's looking at? You're talking about the population of the Sudan. And he's like, it's my turn to talk. Oh. I'm telling about the Sudan. And I was like,
no.
My apologies. Excellent job, everybody.
And then she's like, then I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not wearing a shirt. I'm wearing an Olga bra with no support.
Clearly I breastfed. So I, sorry, everybody. And then not 10 minutes later, I walked into Delilah's room and did the same thing.
I know, because we're just the monsters.
She's holding up this like little yellow rabbit talking. And I'm like, that's not appropriate. You're not supposed to have toys while you're supposed to be listening. And she's like, I'm showing it for.
Oh, no, Jess.
And I was like, carry on.
Well, we've been off on break. So like, Eleanor, here's the thing.
Life, at least she knows I'm trying, right? Yeah, they know I'm trying. They know I'm doing it wrong.
They know we're trying. So Eleanor lost a tooth last night, which I thought was so significant, because in the middle of all of this sadness, like, it just shows that like life is moving forward no matter what.
Keeps
like
going.
Life, it keeps going. And it's a wonderful
reminder that like to step, put one foot in front of the other and move forward. So Eleanor lost a tooth, but Eleanor is my kid who she'll play it like quiet so you don't notice she's being naughty. But Finn is outwardly naughty. He's like me. He's like meant to get caught. Eleanor is a little cooler. So we were in with Finn today because when they were going to make the announcement that Mr. Glover had passed, which the school handled it so wonderful. I can't give enough credit to these teachers and the administration who put their wings around our kids and said, we're going to help them. And not just a day, for weeks, for months, for however long they want. And we were like, wow, this is awesome. So we went in with Finn today and we just sat and we weren't in his shot, God forbid. But we were in the room with him for a couple hours just to like get them through the grief counseling and stuff. And so Colin would go check on Eleanor and then I would go check on Eleanor and then Colin would go check on Eleanor. And every time I went back in her room and I was like, was she wearing that many bows in her hair when I left? By the time we got out of there, Eleanor looked like Phyllis Diller. She had like taken stickers and put them all over her ears like earrings. She had 14 different clips in her hair and she'd done her nails. This is the fourth time she's done her nails during class. I'm like, Miss, your teacher can see you.
I know.
What are you doing? We are grieving a teacher. Give me a day.
You won't get one. You don't get one.
You don't get one. I'm kind of grateful about it.
It does not matter what kind of grief you're dealing with. And I tell you what, Mr. Glover's wife, like whatever she is dealing with, and it must be heavy, she is still going to deal with all the shit of every day. It doesn't go away. You feel like it should take a break. It doesn't.
And here's something really interesting. If anybody out there is dealing with grief, this is something that the grief counselor said to me that like really hit me hard, because first of all, they're like, when as a parent, you have to say, you know, you have to talk to your kids for the first time. You remember the first time you experienced loss. So it's very impactful. Third grade is the year biologically and mentally as children, you start to understand mortality. So your third and fourth grade years are very important in sort of like how you view the world. So when you experience loss in third and fourth grade, it's magnified because you get it. Like in kindergarten, you'd be like, oh, I don't think I know what that means. But
you start to like think about thinking.
Yeah. Like you think about thinking, you think about death, like they have questions. And oh my God, there's a million questions that come after any big, heavy conversation. You're never just in and out. It's like, oh my God, what's heaven? Was there a hell? And you're like, I can't unpack that. I got this tidbit of information and that's about it. But the grief counselor said that adults experience grief as like a giant blanket, like a heavy blanket. You wake up, you are sad. You sort of, you know, you sort of exist in sadness. You cry when you need to. You experience sadness. Children, on the other hand, do it in fits and spurts. So we as adults look at them and go like, why aren't you more upset? But it's because their energy level is they're able to go play and then feel sad and then go play and feel sad and say something that's like, no emotion, but super heavy. Like, Finn was like, yeah, you know what? I really, because it came to around to him and he had to talk and he's like, yeah, I had a good Christmas break. Had a really good dinner for Christmas Eve. Played the piano a little bit. Thought about Mr. Glover. Thought about my dad dying. That was about it. And I was like, good God. And I was like, Finn's going to trigger the whole class. And I like freaked in that minute. But then I was like, this is his way of their children. They're doing it different. Like, I got to chill out, back off, let him be.
And he probably, no, I know this about him. I'm not going to say probably, I'm going to say definitely, because one of my favorite things about Finn is that he's very earnest. He's like, and like, I remember man. Like at Dash's birthday, when his fifth birthday, Finn's, you know, 2 years older than he is. Dash was having some weird meltdown and his dad, my husband was in like trying to talk him down, like figure out what was going on. And Finn just walked in the room as if nobody was there. And he goes, Dash, why are you crying? There's a party going on. Everybody wants to have fun at your birthday party. Can't you just go out there and have fun? And like, he was literally saying like what we're all thinking. So I feel like Finn has genetically inherited this gift of relaying your feelings in a relatable way to people that you have, Kristen, where said that. And probably that is the scariest thing for kids. When their teacher dies, they're like, oh, that can happen to anybody. Well, that can happen to my mom. That can happen to my dad. That can happen to me. That's scary. And honestly, I know that that's the case because it's scary for me. The first thing I did, selfishly, I'm a shitbag, was like, how old was Mr. Glover? Because I'm so scared about my husband. They're the same age.
Everybody's doing the math. Everybody's doing the math. He was 52 years old. He was young. He was spry. It makes no sense. You can unpack it however you want with whatever you need. You know, like, look, I'm not trying to get like an edge to me. I'm just saying, like, I think people often look at like, well, that person was overweight or that person had diabetes. And I'm like, you know what? Show me an American over the age of 30 that doesn't have a pre-existing condition. If you haven't, we've all had like some version of a virus or like it half the country has herpes. Like,
I mean, it literally doesn't matter because I have a friend who is diabetic and he was like, I didn't know I had it. The only reason I noticed I had it was because my wife got tested and she was positive. So I got tested and I was positive, but we didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah.
It's different. And there's not, all of us would love to like have this
blame
way of knowing. Yeah. But people get lung cancer and never smoked a day in their life. Yep. There is just stuff that happens.
And then there's the 80-year-old asshole who's smoking on the freeway. There's like, but the truth is,
how is that guy not shot by now? Too, it's Los Angeles. You don't yell at people for honking. You don't do like, that's such a terrible idea. Bad plan.
It's a bad plan. And truthfully, like, I think I wear my mask because I'm okay with protecting that guy. And listen, some asshole that comes up that takes care of business on his own with that guy, that's another story. But I'm going to wear a mask for that guy and anybody else out there just because it's your single line of defense. And I'm just going to do it. I'm Czech, man. I have a very strong bridge of my nose. If you look closely, I've got a red mark across the top because masks are highly uncomfortable to someone with a profile like mine. But I will tell you that I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And you, if you get it and you're a mask wearer, that happens all the time. This is not something that should divide us. This is something that should unite us. And it's already hard enough. People are scared. People are alone. People have to quarantine. You have to be sick by yourself. It's a shitty time. I just think that losing Mr. Glover brought it all home for us and made me realize, like, I need to lighten up a little bit. I mean, I'm still mad at my parents. I'm not going to let go on that. But I do think that it just taught me that, like, life is short and we got to be in it and we got to be there. Like, for the kids, I know that sounds corny, but like these little people, they've been through a lot.
Oh, God, that's my number one. Like, I don't know why it's in my head where I'm like, well, I'd be fine because there's no reason, you know, it's not.
Right. We're all doing the same math. We're like, well, what do I have that would make it hard?
Yeah. But then I worry about my husband because he has Lyme disease. And like he gets when he gets sick, like if he just gets the flu, it's really bad. And then it's like develops into Lyme disease and like it causes neurological and heart shit. So I worry about it.
Yeah, I know you guys
and
do.
And I tell him he's good about not taking risks, but like he goes out and he talks to the garbage man or something, or he talks to the gas line guy. And I'm like, I want our kids to have a happy life. So don't make foolish decisions.
Yeah.
Like don't throw
like
the
wear
dice.
Wear a damn mask.
He and, always does.
Yeah.
But I'm like, don't, I don't, you know, if it, like you can't, don't ease up right now.
I know. This is the other thing. We're in this, like, I think everybody, you can sense it in the world. Everybody feels a lot of fatigue and fatigue in a way that I thought 3 months ago we were experiencing and it feels like.
I know. That's nothing.
But I'm still hopeful. Just the fact it's 21 feels awesome. You can sense there's a hopefulness. I don't want this to be a sign or to
have people be like, oh, here we go, 21, shit the bed. Because I'm going to believe that this is going to be a better year. I'm going to believe that. And my Finn is okay. Finn is okay. He's going to be okay. This is a life lesson that is inevitable. If it's not, you know, a teacher, it would be a grandparent. It would be, you know, like life happens. Death is a part of life. It's just a shitty part of being a parent. You want to protect your kids from all the bad news. By the way, on that note, I've got to tell you this. So as you know, as a parent, when there are these moments that are heavy and intense is generally when the funniest shit in your life happens. Always. Kind of like always. Like you're like, you can even, like, there were moments on this, like, grieving Zoom with all these parents. I was like, I normally wouldn't, I shouldn't find this funny, but I'm just going to make a little note that this was funny. You know, because that's how I cope. That's how I cope.
Yes.
I'm always writing, like, bits or whatever, and I cope that way.
A paper-thin line between comedy and tragedy.
Totally. And we dip our toes in that all the time. And there's like, you know, there's always one like stereotypical dad who's like, just wondering, when are we going to get back to work? Is there going to be a delay in the academics? I'm like, buddy, the teacher just died. Yeah. Can we give it a minute? And it's COVID and we're in remote learning. Your kid's not going to Harvard anyway. Like, just
quick question for those of us out here on the Zoom that are hoping to deny, suppress our feelings. What are some distractions and concerns you can give me or something to be angry about that I can complain about rather than worry about my inevitable demise?
Right. Is there anything else on the docket that we can talk about other than what we should be talking about and why we're here? So there's always one, but I make a note because I'm like, yeah, it's shit's funny. Like there is always one. And if you don't think there's always one, it's you. There's always one a-hole in the group. And if you don't know, if you're looking around like, no, there's not, it's you. I'm sorry, but own it. Like, it's how it is. So I tell Finn, we're in, oh God, this is a terrible story.
Hey, I want to make sure we get back to long division as soon as possible, because that feels way important right now than, you know, this global pandemic that will be talked about for the next 1,000 years of history.
And the loss of this incredible teacher. But let's, can we get back to weekly reader? I'm just wondering, anybody else on Schoolology enjoying it?
You $100 that guy puts apostrophes in the wrong location anyways, as an adult.
Yeah, I think the second he did it, his wife did a slow turn and like was like, will you shut? I mean, he's like, you know, like, because everybody, but you know what? Think if he was 8, we'd be like, he's just grieving and doesn't know where he can put it. He's no different. But the thing is, at this age, he should be man enough to know that it's okay to be sad. There was a big burly dad named Colin Sweeney, who I'm married to, who could not, it broke my heart. Because we were in different squares because he was at, he was at his theater, which is empty, and he was working there. And he got on the Zoom, and he was deeply moved by this. And he spent a lot of time with Mr. Glover because he works for the, like, basically the PTA. He helps with all the fundraising and stuff. And they were good buds. And Colin is this affable, big, kind of angry Irishman who is nothing but a big ball of goo. And like he was a very emotional person on this Zoom. And I think it like really caught it. Like it definitely, like there were other dads that were like, I just want to know if anybody wants to Zoom and talk about our feelings. And I was like, that's what we should be doing. We should be okay with that. Let's do that.
Well, it's like permission, because I don't know if we talked about this before, but we have a friend, and I'm not going to say who it was, but we have a friend in common who has endured like the worst sort of shocking and abrupt tragedy that was very close to her, like one of the closest people in her life.
Yeah.
And I don't know what good comes from like horrible things happening, but I can tell you a good thing that came from that happening was she is okay with grief. And it doesn't matter like how little or unimportant it feels to you. If she hears that it happened, she shows up at your house with cookies and flowers and makes you cry because you need to. Like, yeah, she's
a
like,
good person.
Talk about it. Tell me. Are you like, she just asks questions that sometimes you're scared to ask because you're like, I'm going to make this person cry.
I know. Why are you so worried about crying?
They're going to anyway. Just let them do it in front of you so you can put your hand on them. Or,
but we can't right now, which sucks.
I know.
Which
I know,
sucks.
But
you're right.
Let your husband cry and just rub his back and tell, we're never going to tell anybody.
Well, I gave him sweet sexual love. Is that okay? No, I'm just kidding. I did not.
Honestly,
I did not. Oh, I did not. But if I would have done that, he would cry all the time. We would never get any work done.
That's true. He'd use it against you.
He'd use it against me.
That would be a thing men would understand. They'd be like, oh, okay, you do understand. You know?
If I show my feelings and I am a little emotionally available, I get laid. That's weird. I should try that. I'm like, have you not watched Bridgerton? Like, be a man.
I gotta start.
Okay, so let me tell you this. So, and then I'll wrap it up because I think this has been a really nice conversation about this because I have felt just raw, but you'll love this. So Finn finally had a minute. He has been very, I don't know if this sounds like anyone you know, but my son didn't want to talk about his feelings, kind of wanted to joke about stuff, didn't want to talk directly about it, just wanted to watch like a good series on television called Unsolved Mysteries. Every time I talked to him or asked him questions, he would deflect it and make it something else and just wanted to get over it very quickly. And then finally, with no question at all,
was this a quote unquote Finn person wearing a blue plaid shirt?
I'm wearing a blue plaid shirt and my son's wearing a blue plaid. You know what, Jen? You know what? Now you're making some points. You're making some points. Mm-hmm. So Finn, it was such a bizarre thing. What set him, what made him come undone is we were talking about the school year and he goes, how am I going to learn? I learned from Mr. Glover and he was mad that there was a substitute. And he was like, she doesn't know what he's doing. And I was like, Finn doesn't get that. Like there, Mr. Glover isn't coming back to like he doesn't like this is work undone. So Finn, it kind of like started to sink in and he sobbed. And of course, Colin sobbed. And then we were talking about the meeting with the parents and we said, Finn, everybody in this class cares so much about you and cares about all the kids. And we want to keep you guys together. This is a big deal. And I said, I don't know how the word divorce came up, but it was basically like every parent showed up, even the ones.
It's always on the tip of your tongue.
it's always on the tip of the tongue. But so in the middle of the conversation, Finn's having this very like emotional moment. My husband has tears in his eyes and we're talking to Finn and we're like, everything's going to be okay. Even parents that were divorced were at that meeting, like parents that like that's everybody showing up. And he said something about divorce and Colin said, you know, my parents were divorced and everything was okay. And Finn, like, it was like his head exploded and he was like, grandma's divorced? And we were like, in that moment, we realized we've never told the kids.
that Colin's harlot.
We've never told the kids that Colin's parents are divorced, that Colin's dad has passed away. So we've never felt the need. So Finn is like, the world is coming. Like the fact that Grandma Gerald divorced Greg Gerald, it's like now it's so
it's too much at once.
I looked at Colin and I go, hey, we could have talked about that on another day since we're dealing with the tragic loss of a teacher. But thank you. And so Ben's like, my grandparents are divorced.
Oh my God.
And I said, Finn,
how did that not come up?
I think we just didn't want to. Well, we like to do everything in one day.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, we're going to finish that sex
talk later. We're going to just do all the hard conversations today. We're going to talk about death.
At least you don't have to tell your kids that you were married before daddy. Because I'm not looking forward to that conversation.
You know what? They don't need to know nothing. They don't need to know nothing. You can deny until you... What?
I'm Why? Still lying to my husband about it. So
you don't need to tell anybody anything.
Here's what I think is like, you know, I love the movie Coco, and it came out like right after my dad died. And I love the idea of like, you talk about people, you celebrate them, you keep their spirit alive. You just do that. And like, we talk about my dad all the time with the kids. And in the car the other day, Delilah was making this like funny voice that we were all giggling at. And when we stopped laughing, she goes, you know, I think Grandpa Jerry would have laughed at that voice. And I was like, yeah, he would have. And I love that because he would have, you know, and it's like that she thought of that and that made her feel good in that moment. Keeps people alive. You know,
do you feel like over time you've become, I don't know, does it feel easier? That's such a weird question. Do you feel like over time you've learned to cope a bit?
The waves get further apart.
Oh, that's nice way of putting it.
That's the best analogy. It's not like sweeping you under all the time. They get further apart. And the only, like my grandpa was the first, like,
he was big
death. He was huge for me.
Yeah, he's like a good dad.
And I wasn't as like well-equipped as a human being to handle that.
That's the thing.
So it was horrible. Like I physically couldn't even handle it. Like I wouldn't be able to like drive my car. It was like such an overwhelming feeling. But I noticed all the time that like my thoughts of him are a blessing. They're peace in a moment. I like see a butterfly or a kind of flower that he liked or something in nature. He loved pigs. I see pictures of pigs and it just feels like this hats off, hello sort of thing. And it will. It's just time and distance.
Yeah. I think our you know, this is a I think this podcast was a really special one because I want this to be like a love letter to Mr. Glover and also just this sort of long-winded prayer to his kids and to his wife. And I hope and I pray that they know how beloved he was and that I hope all the teachers out there know that like you're doing great. Like your bad day is still a good day because you're not the parents. Like that's all the kids care about. They're like, you're not my mom and dad. So you are validated. You validate me. And
they have 10 times as much to deal with and they're still doing it with a good attitude. Well, I think it's an undisputed fact that Mr. Glover is he's our hot flash.
He's our hot flash. He would love that. He would think, you know, we were on a parent teacher conference one time and I had that giant wine glass that a mom gave us. That's like a comically large wine glass. And then I mom so hard on the screen on the Zoom. And then we had done something one night. So we had like four bottles of wine and he's like, I really enjoy, he's English and I'm going to butcher the accent, but he's like, I really enjoy what's in the background. Have you already started? Is that the kind of glass size you need to get through these days? And he goes, that's why I have a Zoom background because I don't want you to see the 50 bottles of scotch that are behind me.
Amazing.
So I raise a glass to you, Mr. Glover.
Cheers to you, Mr. Glover.
To all the teachers and to all of you out there. And I'm sorry if I said something mean about my parents, kind of.
You know what? Facts are facts.
Thanks for facts.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.